This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about the Human Genome Project. As scientists raced to complete the first draft of the genome map, there was talk that Craig Venter's company, Celera, planned to patent the human genome, which would have meant that scientists would have to pay for access to the information. That raised a lot of ethical questions, but there is another consideration here. If we're putting a price tag on genetic material, who should benefit financially? The companies and scientists who process the information, or the people who gave their genetic material? And if so, how much is your genetic data worth? Grant Hill looked into it.
In 2014, Aldo DePape worked for one of the largest medical journal publishers in the world, helping startups make research results more accessible by creating ways to upload findings online.
We were all about open science, make it all available so we can all achieve scientific progress, essentially. At one point, there was a professor who really took it to heart, and what he uploaded to the infrastructure was a VCF.
A VCF is a data file, like an Excel spreadsheet or a PDF, but for the genetic makeup of a human being.
He uploaded that VCF to the infrastructure saying, this is also for science. Here's the genome of my son. And that's where we paused, because your DNA, we say, is the blueprint to who you are. In your lifetime, you will have one highly identifiable piece of information. And that's your DNA, right? You will have multiple phone numbers, multiple home addresses, but you will only have one genome. So if that's the case, then we better be very careful with it. And this professor was doing the exact opposite.
But the incident got Aldo and a geneticist on his team thinking. Sequencing DNA had become a lot faster and cheaper since the early days. Easier to learn more about your own DNA and harder to keep it all private. Then, in 2018, came news of a major deal between 23andMe and GlaxoSmithKline.
One of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world, for $300 million, right? And that was the first time that it revealed its real business model, which is basically selling data on to the pharmaceutical and research industry.
Access to the exomes, or DNA samples, of over 5 million people. The sample quality of an exome isn't anywhere near that of a full genomic sequence, but it does contain most disease-related variants.
A clinically graded genome is at 30x, whereas an exome is done a lot more lighter at 5x.
But that just made the deal even more eye-popping. $300 million for about 5 million exomes. That's $60 per exome. Just 2 years later, that value seemed to shoot up when the private equity firm Blackstone acquired 23andMe competitor Ancestry.com and its 18 million DNA samples for $4.7 billion, or $250 per exome.
That also was a signal for us, like, okay, this can only go one way, right?
Customers had paid to spit in a test tube to have their most personal information analyzed and, in some cases, shared with researchers. But now, that very personal information was being treated like a commodity, sold without customers sharing in the profit. Aldo and that geneticist he worked with didn't see this trend slowing down.
So on top of it being the blueprint to who you are, on top of it being highly identifiable, it also had an exponentially growing monetary value, which for us was a recipe of catastrophe in terms of people chasing up the data, which then raised new questions around safety and security of the information. And that's what gave life to Genomes.io.
Genomes.io is Aldo's company, a DNA testing service that keeps genetic information in a virtual vault using encryption and blockchain technology, giving only users access to their genetic information, with the option to opt in to third-party research, and even in some circumstances, getting paid for it.
Our infrastructure is something that we would like to call a virtual laboratory.
On the supply side, individuals pay Aldo's company to sequence their DNA, run health and ancestry reports, and securely store their information, information customers retain ownership of. On the demand side, researchers pay his company to access and analyze that encrypted information with the individual's permission, and without having to personally front all the costs to comply with privacy laws. Genomes.io is still just a startup, with only a little over 6,000 subscribers. And that's a big challenge, because when it comes to DNA samples, geneticist Ernst Haefen says their value typically comes from scale.
The DNA alone is not valuable very much.
He says he learned this the hard way. Back in the early 80s, Ernst was at the forefront in the field of developmental genetics, studying the DNA of fruit flies as a model for human beings. The ultimate goal of his research was to target specific genes that could someday be altered to cure diseases or stop cancer in its tracks.
We were totally naive.
He formed a startup in the late 90s called The Genetics Company. Ernst and his co-founders thought they'd quickly identify these bad genes and get bought out by some pharmaceutical giant, a company that could do the expensive grunt work of bringing a therapy to market. And while some therapies for cancer and rare diseases would later prove their original hypothesis, the research wasn't nearly as fruitful as Ernst hoped. It soon became clear that the utility of genetic information alone was quickly running out.
You have to put this into context of your population. You have to put this in the context of your family history, etc.
And in the context of the rest of your genome, your specific combination of genes, and what that combination results in.
We've been always focusing my entire career to try to pin down something to a single gene, right? Because that's what we've been able to do. But evolution and natural selection has really never cared about single genes.
Ernst says what really matters is your phenotype, the expressions of your genes, whether you get good sleep or have high cholesterol. This is the kind of information found in your medical records. Without it, he says, most people's DNA would likely reveal little to researchers. By 2006, Ernst's company was bankrupt, but it taught him a valuable lesson, that rooting out the secret cause of all disease was not something researchers could really narrow down with a simple DNA sample.
Turned out not to be so valuable as they thought, because there is not so much in this genetic information alone.
That's why today, Ernst is helping lead an initiative in Sweden to consolidate medical data in one secure location, controlled by patients. He says DNA remains an important part of your larger health profile, but right now, at least, it's not exactly any more valuable than any other health indicator.
Because if you are an insurance company in the United States and you want to adjust the premium, yes, you can say, okay, give me your genome, and based on your genome, I make you an offer. But it is actually much more valuable and much easier to get your credit card purchases and find out that you always order XXL clothes. Because you already have type 2 diabetes or you're going to get it very soon, and that hikes up the treatment costs because this is a chronic disease. So I'm saying, yes, genetics can tell you something, but it is much more abstract.
But as long as the market believes genetic data might hold some extra special value in the future, someone will be trying to get it on the cheap. That is why Genomes.io founder Aldo DePape wants people to start thinking about their DNA like their online browsing history or credit score. He thinks as the science of genetics progresses, those major acquisitions will only continue.
Whenever there's such a transaction, do the numbers yourself. And they will all show you, yes, there is monetary value.
Which means you should fight to keep your DNA yours alone.
That story was reported by Grant Hill.